Hi, this is James Johnson, the newly minted host of the North Carolina Theater Story Podcast. In our second week, we are going to talk about all the upcoming shows for the 2016-2017 season at the Temple Theater, the Gilbert Theater, and the Cape Fear Regional Theater. But before we get to that, I wanted to share with you an actual, real-life North Carolina theater story. This one is about my new co-host, Ruth Goldstein. And she doesn't know that I'm recording this. Today is her birthday, and I thought, what better day to celebrate this person's rebirth? Let me explain. See, I have known Ruth for a very long time. I actually knew about Ruth long before I even knew her. She was a student at UNC Pembroke, and for months, everyone was telling me about this breakout student who was getting all the lead roles and was blowing everyone's socks off, who had what was referred to as it. Now, I have known a plethora of performers who have talent, people who can sing, dance, act, juggle, you name it. So, when I am told over and over again that some girl coming out of Florida has it, I was going to be skeptical. What the hell does it mean? Finally, in 2009, a friend introduced us, and I immediately got it. I immediately realized what everyone had been talking about. Ruth was billed as this big-time Broadway-bound talent, and yet, she was one of the most down-to-earth people I'd ever met. She cursed like a sailor, she told dirty jokes, she didn't behave as if she thought she was better than anyone. And I realized it wasn't just that she was this 4'11 ball of talent, it was that all this talent was attached to this very genuine person. So when people said that she had it, they were also saying that if anyone they knew was going to make it, they wanted it to be Ruth Goldstein. She was a person that I think everyone felt they could root for. She had it, yeah. But more than that, everyone wanted her to have it. Because who else deserved it more than Ruth Goldstein? Anyway, Ruth and I became good friends, and she began getting professional acting jobs. Everything was going according to plan, and then she and I lost contact. And this thing happened, this thing that happens far too often to artists once they leave school. This thing called real life. And it hit Ruth particularly hard, because she is a very proud person. She didn't want to ask for anyone's help. She didn't want anyone to be burdened with helping her stay afloat while she made the transition to working actress. And so instead, she took jobs that she hated, and she did things she wasn't proud of. And for a time, she was even homeless. I was never aware of this while it was happening. No one was. She, again, was too proud. But she's also scrappy. And eventually, she worked her way up and started making comfortable living for herself in Wilmington. But it was a living for survival. I mean, she was just living to pay her bills, and she had kind of given up on this thing that she loved, this thing that drove her crazy with passion, her first true love, her art, this thing that she was just innately amazing at. And about at that same time, so had I. I've always worked as a writer, but about this time, I had taken a writing job that was kind of journalism by the numbers, and I wasn't happy. I was actually depressed. I switched around to an even better paying job, but one that was even more creatively stifling. And apparently, no matter how much money I was being paid, I wasn't going to get any happier. And finally, I just couldn't take it, so I quit, with zero backup plan. I quit, I went home, and I started working on this play I had been writing for the past year or so, this play called Kamikaze Club. Inspired by my work with Lynn Pryor on the North Carolina Theater Stories podcast, I decided that I would do the play as a 7-part audio series, using the best actors I could find. But after initial casting, I had to replace the actor who was to play the girl named Sally. Sally is a pretty important part to the story, and she goes through some hard stuff, and I knew I needed an amazing actor. I made a list of some of the best actresses I knew, and in writing that list, I remembered Ruth. Ruth, this incredible talent who was, at that time, surrounded by people who had no idea what she was capable of. It took me a week of Facebook messaging and talking to people who I thought might still know her before she finally messaged me back. I had to read the part, and she did a phenomenal job. And she got this look in her eyes, this look of... She realized everything she had been missing. And I found out everything that had happened while I wasn't paying attention to this dear friend of mine. So, now, Ruth has new headshots, and she's updated her resume, and she even took a small supporting role in a play at Fayetteville Tech Community College. The first supporting role of her career, mind you. She's normally done leads, but she's, you know, scrappy. So she's climbing all the way back up from the bottom, and it doesn't matter, because she's doing what she loves. I told her I was starting up the North Carolina Theater Stories podcast again, and she jumped at the opportunity. She had been wanting to do a podcast, so she wanted a co-host, and I was moved by the fact that here was this person who was sort of stuck in this rut, but she didn't need a lot from me. All she needed was a small nudge, and now she was back to being this insanely driven person who says yes to everything, who looks at every challenge and wants to face it head on. So, today is her birthday. And we only get so many of them. But each one is a chance to start fresh. It's the start of a new year on an individual basis. So before we start our new episode, I want to play for you a small clip from our upcoming podcast series, Kamikaze Club, which is having a listening party event on July 2nd at 227 Old Street in downtown Fayetteville. In the clip, she is acting opposite another incredibly talented area actor, Brandon Shane Bryan, and I think you'll enjoy it.
You could fly every day for like 19,000 years before you'd ever be in a crash. So, you know.
Who are you trying to comfort, bro? I've been in more planes than I've been in cars. I'm not worried.
Oh, really? I figured from how you keep going to the bathroom every 10 minutes and clutching that Bible that this was either your first time or you got some enemies in D.C.
Just airsick.
Sally returned her attention to her book.
And it's not a Bible, it's the Quran.
You're shitting me.
I think thou shalt not shit thy neighbor is on page 12.
Not exactly the time or the place, is it? You trying to make folks nervous?
There are rules against using cell phones on airplanes, not against reading scripture.
Just, you're being a little insensitive.
Two?
The whole goddamn plane, that's who. There are still folks who remember real well when your folks were playing demolition derby with skyscrapers.
And there are still folks who remember when your folks were playing Simon Says with black people. The only people who think that a group of terrorists represent a billion other Muslims across the world are bigots.
And now we return to our regularly scheduled podcast. Oh, and Ruth, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. This song is now publicly domained, so I can sing it all I like. So happy birthday to Ruth. That was embarrassing.
Dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Podcast. I am your host, James Johnson, here with my lovely co-host, Ruth Goldstein.
Hello.
You can listen to this and all previous episodes at at nctheaterstories.com. Theater spelled with an E-R. We are coming here from sunny Fayetteville, North Carolina, and today we're going to be talking about the 2016-2017 theater seasons of some of Southeast North Carolina's finest theaters. You know what's sad is I have this stuff written down. I'm still getting it wrong.
Words are hard.
Yeah, they are. A lot of people, they don't understand.
If you were a writer or something, you probably wouldn't have that difficulty.
Hmm.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, I know. Well, okay, yes, we actually, we restarted the podcast the other week, and we restarted it with a review of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and we also did an interview with the director of the Vagina Monologues, at Lynn Pryor, who is the founder and creator of this show. He had wanted us to bring the show back, and, you know, the timing could have been better because I only realized after the fact that both of the major theaters in this area were ending their seasons. So that sort of gave us a lot of nothing to do with the next few episodes. But
it's good practice.
Yeah. So
figuring out the quirks.
So this episode is going to be a special episode in which we're just going to talk about the upcoming seasons. We're going to talk about the upcoming seasons for the Gilbert Theater, for the Cape Fear Regional Theater, for the Temple Theater. I tried to find something for a Sweet Tea Shakespeare Theater Company, which is also based in Fayetteville. The Temple Theater is based in Sanford, though that's like a 40-minute drive, maybe.
But that's so worth it.
And it is totally worth it. Really brilliant theater. I couldn't find any information about the next season for Sweet Tea Shakespeare, so...
If you have any information, send it our way. You can contact us at...
We'll dedicate the whole next episode to
it. Where can they contact us?
You can email us at nctheaterstories@gmail.com. That's theater spelled with an E-R. That is a Lynn thing. Lynn apparently, even though he calls like the bathroom the lavatory, he insists on spelling America. Theater with an E-R. But yes... So, NC Theater with an ER stories@gmail.com. And please tell us what Sweet Tea is doing next season. All right. So, first off, we're starting with the Gilbert Theater.
The Gilbert!
The Gilbert. Yeah, the Gilbert Theater. And that is the theater that Lynn Pryor, who was the original host of the show, founded. So I figured if we're going to show a bias, we'll... We can put our bias in that general direction, but by talking about them
That's
first.
That's why we're starting. Yep.
The Gilbert Theater has a season full of classics, which is a change of pace for theater that has in the past done a lot of lesser-known shows. This is artistic director Robin Parrish's final season of the theater, and clearly she's decided to leave with a bang. The season opens with Robert Harling's Still Magnolias, which is running from September 23rd to October 9th. This year, 2016. Still Magnolias is probably best known for its film adaptation, but it actually started as a play. It follows a group of Southern women, all in different stages of their lives, living in Louisiana. I understand this year the production is being done entirely with puppets.
Really?
That is not true.
Oh. Were you just making sure I was awake?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
like Avenue Q style.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of funny.
Yeah.
If they were going to redo the internets for porn, what do you think they would do in Steel Magnolias?
Oh, yeah.
What is, like, I don't know. I don't know the show very well. I know Julia Roberts was in it, but is that they would do, like, the internet is for churning butter?
Yeah. I don't know.
What do Southern women do? I'm going to offend so many people right now.
Well, you're technically a Southern woman,
so
you can do
I'm from Florida.
It.
You
can't get
like
much
the
more
most
south.
Northern of the Southern states.
How is...
Someone forgot to put their phone on vibrate. How unprofessional is that? That's it. You're fired.
My apologies that apparently Ruth forgot to turn her phone off. And
that was not mine.
She's being very unprofessional.
Did you hear that dumb text tone? No, that wouldn't be mine. Mine's a bottle opener, not this silly little clown horn.
I worked at a paper once where I...
Good story. Moving on. So, after Steel Magnolias, we have...
Wow.
Did you want to say more about that?
That was a really good story.
I'll bet it was.
Okay, well, you're never going to hear it now.
Because, I'm so sad. I'll cry about it later.
After Steel Magnolias, they will be doing It's a Wonderful Life, which is a reprisal. For years, the Gilbert did a Christmas Carol every year, and that was their sort of annual Christmas show. But now they're switching it up since... Last year, they did It's a Wonderful Life. I guess it was a huge success because they're doing it again November 26th and through December 18th this year, 2016. And, this is adapted from a film. The previous one was actually Steel Magnolias was a play first and then adapted into a film. This is a film first that was adapted into a play, but...
I did not know that. Did I know that?
I don't know that you...
I guess you didn't know that. Huh.
There's so much you don't know. But don't worry, you're learning more.
Oh, it's black and white first.
Yes.
Well, this is the one with the lamp with the fishnets?
What?
Leg lamp?
No.
What show am I thinking of that has the leg lamp with the fishnets?
You're thinking of a Christmas Story.
Oh, it's almost the same thing.
That is not... Okay, It's a Wonderful Life is about a man played by James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart.
Right.
Who he's suicidal. He's gotten in way over his head, and so he's gonna jump off a bridge. And this angel named Clarence sort of talks him out of it by showing him what life would be like if he had never been born. It's actually a really beautiful story. Every year I watch this movie, and for the past few years, I actually got a little teary-eyed because, I don't know, I think it has more poignance.
Getting emotional the older you get.
Yeah, I guess, aww. You know.
You got the feels.
I do. I got a bad case of the feels.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, I'm sorry. But Ken Griggs played it last year, and it looks like he's coming back, so that should Woo-hoo! Be awesome.
Way Ken to go, Griggs, Ken!
Yeah, Ken is an amazing local actor.
Shout out to Ken Griggs.
Really looking forward to seeing him come back. And then, after that, they will be doing August Osage County by Tracy Letts, January 27th through February 12th, 2017.
Dun, dun, dun. It just sounded appropriate. That was... I don't know, it just sounded like it needed to have a sound effect there. What? Do we have that?
What kind of
effect? No.
What kind of play do you think August Osage County is? But August Osage County, again, another play that has been a film. This one was a play first, adapted into a film with Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts. Another film with Julia Roberts.
Oh my gosh!
She's in everything!
Right?
I don't think Dolly Parton was in this one, though. But, And I believe they both got Oscar nominations. I'm not super sure about that. But yeah, it's a film about a family living in Oklahoma, and they have to come together after the apparent suicide of the family's patriarch, which...
Apparent suicide?
Yes.
Oh, so it's not a mystery. So they're not, like, trying to figure out if he killed himself or if it was a homicide or something.
And it is a parent who committed suicide, so.
Ah, wordplay.
Yes.
Well, I see what you did, though.
But, yes, the father of the family, he's committed suicide. I don't think they, ever officially say what exactly happens to him, but it's implied, I think. But, yeah, having seen the film, I'm really excited about this one. I'll talk a little bit more about my excitement later. So the Gilbert's only musical of next season will be The Secret Garden, which will be March 24th through April 9th, 2017. That's, next year. Most people are familiar with the film and the book, but not a lot of people know about the musical.
They do. They will now.
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
Or at least a lot of people.
Our thousands of listeners.
Yeah.
That
billions
are
upon
in.
Billions of listeners.
They rely on us for their upcoming theater events.
Mm-hmm. My parents.
A lot of people don't
know
how to use the Google.
Just like in any other adaptation, the story is about an orphan named Mary Lennox, which is the coolest. It's a really cool name for a little orphan girl.
It's a really weird thing to point out.
Mary Lennox
doesn't have anything to do with anything we're talking about.
I'm just saying.
It
really
sounds
cool
like China, not like the country, but like China plates. You know, because they have like Blue Danube and like Lennox sounds like a brand of plate.
I could say. I thought it sounded like a cool serial killer, but yeah, plate Sue. And really, there's nothing
we should
cool
write a
about.
Sequel, The Secret Garden, where Mary Lennox becomes
a serial
a
killer.
Serial killer. Or oh a my plate. Gosh, we're onto something. This is an original thought, ladies and gentlemen. This just happened.
Cool. Anyway, Mary Lennox, she's sent to live with relatives that she has never met. And while there, she discovers a neglected garden on the property, which is symbolic for, like, feelings and junk.
I was hoping you were going to go there.
Why? She
takes care of the neglected garden.
Yes, so, you know.
You actually wrote feelings and junk on your notes here.
Yes.
For the synopsis of Secret Garden.
I mean, you know, it's feelings and stuff.
You were just being really sensitive, saying you were crying about It's a Wonderful Life, and now you're going to say, you literally wrote feelings and junk with ellipses on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think we need to have a chit-chat after this.
I'm just saying that it is a show which connects with some people. I have an interesting connection to it in that when I was a kid, one of the first plays I ever helped out and my parents were, you know, homeschooling me, so they're like, go do something. And so I volunteered backstage at the Secret Garden. That noise you're hearing, by the way, is Banjo, who is the official podcast dog. Mishu is Lynn Pryor's dog, who would make noises during that podcast. Now we have Banjo, who is equally boisterous.
To grow, she needs a friend. She needs a father, brother, sister, mother's arms. She needs to laugh. She needs to dance and learn to work her girlish charms. She needs a home, the only thing she really needs I cannot give. Instead she asks a bit of earth to make.
There's not a lot of dude-friendly shows this season, I guess. But
speaking of feelings and junk, what's next on the list?
Well, next on the list,
totally set you up for that, because you're like, feelings and junk.
Speaking of feelings and junk, The Diary of Anne Frank. I hope you're ready to feel bad, because
it's a work of art.
It is a work of art. It is actually an adaptation of a young girl's actual diary. I don't know why I'm explaining this, but apparently, under the assumption that you have lived under a rock and are totally unaware of this thing called the Holocaust.
Or if you were frozen for the last several
decades yeah.
and you don't know.
The Diary of Anne Frank is the story of a young girl who lived during the occupation of Amsterdam by Germany, who she and her family were hiding in an attic during this terrible time, and they were hiding from the Germans because they were Jewish. And it's really, you know, it's a heartbreaking story, but at the same time, it's actually surprisingly kind of fun. Because Anne Frank, as a person, she is an optimist. She is, like, the eternal optimist.
There are moments of humor.
Yeah, there are a lot of moments.
There's some dark humor in there, too, but
yeah, it's,
there's enough breaks for the audience to, you know.
Honestly, you know, I watched the show and, you know, again, I got a little teary-eyed, but not really till the end. I didn't cry. I got a little glassy. I'm a man, darn it.
Okay.
But, are you laughing at my emotions?
Sorry.
Opening my heart. You know, I'm really excited about seeing that show, even with all my excitement, I'm going to pick a show out of that season that I am most excited about seeing.
Is it Diary of Anne Frank?
No.
Oh.
I know. It seemed like that's where I was going. But I'm going to say August Osage County.
All right.
It was real close between August and Anne Frank, but I've never seen August live. And I'm really excited when theaters do things and bring things to the community that, you know, I've never been done here before.
I'm super excited. They're doing mostly plays, like straight plays.
Oh, yeah, they only have one
really
musical.
It's really easy to do musicals. Well, I don't want to say easy.
It's really profitable.
It's exactly. It gets asses in the seats if you do a musical, because lots of people are involved usually. Mm-hmm. So they're all their family and friends are going to come. It's profitable for the theater. But sometimes those straight plays don't draw in the crowd, and I think there needs to be more.
Well, the straight plays they're doing, they are known straight plays for the most part. They're like, you know, straight plays of names that people mm-hmm. recognize. So, you know, like every one of these, there is a movie version of it, which I think that might be a first for a Gilbert season. So,
but
a lot
don't
of
be that season. Guy that goes and watches the movie thinking that you know everything now about the play,
exactly.
Because most of the time they'll throw some curveballs at you. You'll be like, wait, that's not how it went down.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand this version of Diary of Anne Frank, entirely Asian cast. The entire cast.
I heard they were going to be in The Lion King, the Broadway musical. There was costumes while they put it on.
And puppets. There's going to be puppets in this.
Well, puppets are only going to be in Steel Magnolias, right?
Oh, I think it's going to be an all-puppet season.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be one of those.
That's cool.
I actually...
So is it an Asian cast with, like... other ethnicities of puppets, or is it...
No, all the puppets are Asian, too.
Oh, okay, so it's full-on Asian. Full Asian frontal.
They're using every Asian actor we have in Fayetteville. Once we find that actor, they will be...
This is going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It'll be in English, right?
Yes.
Good, 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 good.
English.
I haven't
and...
spoken Chinese in a really long time.
It's
been a while.
I did make a serious proposal. Well, as serious a proposal as one could make. I was trying to convince the Gilbert to do Glengarry Glen Ross and puppets, because I thought it would be really hilarious to see puppets swearing.
But, it would be really funny.
But, you know, they did have no cue at the CFRT last season, so it's fine. All right, speaking of the CFRT, the Cape Fear Regional Theater.
Holla!
Holla, indeed.
Do I have the first show? We're splitting these up, guys.
Yeah.
You have the first one.
Yeah. I have the first one.
Why do you have to be first? Whatever.
And then we'll figure out, because I didn't really get to the next one. All right, so Cape Fear Regional Theater is doing, for their next season... Whoa, hey!
Banjo wants to be interviewed.
Banjo's jumping all up on me.
James is going to have a lot to say about this show. The Million Dollar Quartet, opening September 8th, running through October 2nd, 2016. Banjo, you are all up in James's business right now. Rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know where, but I'm stuck in fools of truth, and time keeps
dragging on. The Million Dollar Quartet is a jukebox musical, and yeah, I've stated a few times how I feel about those, but this one is a Tony Award-winning jukebox musical, so there's that. It is based on a true story of an iconic recording session between Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley. So bring your dad. And they, of course, will be performing... classics from each artist, and maybe if there is time, they will fit in a little Smash Mouth. So, you're a rock star.
I get it. That's for the younger viewers out there. Yeah. Actually, not even younger.
Yeah, like,
I think I heard them on the oldie station the other day.
For the 35-year-old with really bad taste in music.
Yeah,
I'm actually kind of excited about this one because it wasn't, it's actually kind of new, it's kind of, you know, it's a newer Broadway show, and it should be interesting.
With lots of old songs.
Yes, with lots of old songs. From, you know, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley. Only, like, two out of those four have had relationships with underage women. So it's pretty exciting.
Good for them.
So, next up. They will be doing Henry V, or Henry V, if you don't know how to read Roman numerals.
Come on, Fayetteville.
By William Shakespeare, a little-known author named William Shakespeare.
Hey, Banjo, can you not with the microphone?
Yeah. It is happening October 27th through November 13th. And this one is a... it's, you know, it's Shakespeare. It is one of Shakespeare's most renowned shows. A lot of people are excited about it. It's about, you know, it's royal intrigue and you know, politics of old. And I know very little about Henry V, but it is one of Shakespeare's most celebrated.
Didn't we talk about costumes about it? Aren't they going to do, like, modern costumes or something like that? Well, they're not going to stick true to period time because it's expensive.
Banjo, really?
Would you stop?
Of all toys she's to play with right fun. Now. Okay, banjo.
Let it be a dog.
Okay.
But seriously, the costumes. Didn't you? I feel like you mentioned that earlier. They're going to take a modern approach to it, kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio's Romeo and Juliet. Right?
Yeah. Well, I think, I'm not sure, but I think they're doing something where they're sort of involving the military.
Really?
Well, it's like...
Like ACUs? Stop squeaking.
Well, I think they're going to have them in, like, yeah, their military uniforms and yeah, so...
That's cool.
Well, you know, they gotta, you know, this is Fayetteville. We have a big military base here, and from what I can gather, all the theaters are racking their brains every year thinking of what can we do to try to get people who are soldiers to want to come see a
like
play.
Like, reinvent what they're... Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a classic. So, fighting and war and like tongue lashings, it's all in Shakespearean, but if the actors are playing it right, you'll be able to tell when they're like, you know, fighting.
Yeah.
Vocally.
Okay.
Stuff.
Now, this show, Ruth knows a bit more about than I do, but I know a little about it because I had a childhood.
This is Disney's The Little Mermaid. Guys, are you so excited? I'm so excited.
January 19th through February 12th, 2017.
Yes, the musical. So if you have not had the pleasure of seeing the Broadway show, I believe it was off-Broadway too at some point in time. I don't have that in my notes. But it's a fantastic show on Broadway. They actually used Heelys and like mermaid bottoms, you know, to like... get the fish and the cast around on stage, and it was super fun. And just obviously Broadway, they like Hollywooded it up, for lack of a better term. So it's probably not gonna be like that phenomenal, but like the show is great. It's not exactly like the movie, so don't be surprised when you see different plot twists and changes. So it's basically the same story. The beautiful young mermaid Ariel longs to leave her ocean home to live in the world above. It's a love story, obviously. There's going to be Prince Eric. She's going to fall in love and blah, blah, blah. We all know how that turned out. It's based off of Hans Christian Andersen's story and off of the animated film, but not entirely the same.
Slightly less death than Hans Christian Andersen's.
Yeah, it's less like, you know, every Disney film has like that evil like scene where it's like, Ursula. Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch that when I was a kid. My mom would fast forward it.
What?
Yeah, because she didn't want those images in my head. Anyway, so I think I was like 17 or 18 by the time I actually saw that Ursula scene where she goes crazy and uses her tentacles and breaks the boat and everything.
Wow.
Anyway, so Little Mermaid, the musical, won Tony's award-winning writer, Alan Menken. And it's obviously family-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact, Ursula in the musical is actually King Triton's sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
They are equal in power in the musical, and they have oceans divided equally between them upon the death of their father, who is the great Poseidon.
Hmm.
So you get, you know, a little bit of that.
So Greek, where does an octopus get involved in this?
I don't know how Disney decided to make her an octopus. Maybe because they're really...
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here.
Yeah, so it's awesome. It's family friendly. Mm-hmm. It's gonna really catchy numbers. Some of the classics from the movie are included, but the score is entirely different. To accommodate for the plot changes and everything. Mm. So definitely go see it with the fam. It's going to be fun, and you're going to want to get the soundtrack afterwards.
Yeah, now I'm excited about Heelys. I'm not sure if they're going to do that for this
production. They should do Heelys. I hope they do. It's not that hard to learn, and it makes, like, especially if this is CFRT, that stage isn't tiny, so it's going to make moving around and dancing on stage a lot easier for the actors.
First time I ever saw a kid with Heelys, it was in the mall, and for, like the first three times I saw it happen, I thought I was hallucinating. I was like,
you know, there's probably some viewers that don't know what the heck we're talking about. Heelys are tennis shoes, much like Skechers, but the heel of them have a collapsible wheel, so much like a roller skate or a roller blade. You can pull it out and you can push it back in. You can make them normal shoes, or you can make them the...
So you'll see like a kid glide across the floor and then suddenly start walking.
It's like... kind of funny though, because I wore them in college to get around campus faster because I was like always late for everything. So, but it's kind of weird because then you have to like toe heel it.
Yeah.
Instead of heel toe it, because even when you collapse the heel in the back, it's that you still have to like walk toe heel, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Don't wear them if you're intoxicated.
Yeah. Yes. They will actually be doing Intimate Apparel March 2nd to the 19th of March, 2017. That is a Pulitzer Prize winning play about a woman who works in a place where she's making underwear, and she's African American, and this is a time when I guess, you know, there was more overt oppression of African Americans, and she has a relationship with a white man, and I guess that does not go well.
A musical, right?
Yeah, no, I don't believe this is a musical at all.
She won't be singing songs about undies.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to it from what little bit I saw. After that, they will be doing Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes.
Now can I talk? Is that okay?
Mystery. Yes.
Is it not my turn? All right. Jeez. All right. So that's running, like I said, April 6th through the 23rd. Again, not a musical. It is a comedy thriller based on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's timeless classic. What was the name of that? I have it written down here. The Hound of the Baskervilles?
Yeah.
It's based off of that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're casting dogs. Banjo, you might have a shot.
They might not have an actual dog on stage, but allusions to a dog. Anyway, so it's a comedy thriller. It's going to be fun, kind of like a murder mystery dinner theater, except there's no food and the audience doesn't really get to participate as far as I know. The story is basically about everyone's favorite detective solving his most notorious case, obviously. Sir Charles Baskerville of Dartmoor is dead, supposedly. Of natural causes, but there are hints that something supernatural may have been involved in his demise. And England's famed detective team, we all know Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson, are on the case. Which, by the way, did you know that's what House is based off of? Those characters? House and Watson, right? Yeah.
Oh,
the two main characters. Characterizations of them are based off of
little known fact that BBC series starring Benedict Cumberbatch, also based off Sherlock Holmes. I believe the show is called Sherlock.
Interesting.
Not a lot of people knew that.
All right.
Also, that show on CBS, I think, also called Sherlock Holmes or something.
Are they paying us to plug their shows?
No, I'm just...
All right, then. So moving on. We got... Anyway, it's kind of, if you've ever seen 39 Steps, which I know was, I think it's CFRT at one point
in time. Yeah, they did that the other
season. It's like that sort of stylistic approach. So it's going to be fun. It's definitely something for everyone. You're not going to have to worry about it being a chick flick or whatever. Like, if you're a lady out there and you want to try to get your guy involved in the arts, this is something that he's going to like. Not as much fighting, obviously, as Henry V, but it's more like guy friendly.
Also, the author wrote Lend Me a Tenor and The Three Musketeers.
They sure did. Yep. That's pretty much all I've got. I know there's a lot of sight gags and outrageous characters, obviously, much like 39 Steps. So it's going to be in that sort of stylistic approach. And then it's a great acting opportunity. So at least go out there and get to see how all these actors are working their magic and the cool...
Because I understand that there's going to be, like, a really small cast, maybe, like, 4 or 5 people, and they're going to play everyone.
Role swapping, like, just like 39 Steps, It's going to be, it'll be fun.
They are doing Caroline or Change, May 11th.
I have never heard of this until you told me to read it.
I hadn't either, but from what I have read, it looks really good. It's based on 1963. It is a woman who is working as a maid in Jewish household.
Right?
Louisiana. I'm sorry?
Oh, it's in America, right? Okay.
Yes, in America.
America.
It is during the Civil Rights Movement, so it is about basically a woman who is a maid, she's an African-American maid, develops this really good, close friendship with the son of the family, and it sort of, I don't want to give away too much because I don't know that much. But it's apparently got
a
whole
bunch
of... Is it a
love story?
What?
Is it a love story?
No,
is it
no,
a drama?
No.
Like, is no, it a comedy? It's a straight play, right?
Yeah. It's a musical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it is not a love story because unless it's a platonic love, unless things get really freaky between that maid and that little boy.
Oh, it's a little boy. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Is she kind of like, maybe is it about... She plays a mother figure for that little boy because a lot of maids or nannies, even nowadays, have a more closer mother relationship with the.
And from what I could gather, it seemed that she does gain sort of a mother son relationship, and the actual mother kind of gets jealous and there's sort of a turmoil. So
you're going to talk about the types of music that we can expect.
Yes, there will be some music and styles of Motown to Yiddish klezmer.
Oh, that's right. We looked this up before. Klezmer. We didn't know what that was.
Which is
Yiddish music, right?
What?
Yiddish music with gospel roots, I believe, is what we figured out.
Yeah, I think it was something like
that.
Between Ruth and I, we make a full Jew, but...
We pretty much do.
Yeah, but
we're very Yiddishy.
Yeah.
All around.
But,
so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Motown's always fun.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that play. That's coming up. But yeah, it's the show deals with major issues of the nation and personal issues of the household and how they interact. And that comes directly from the synopsis.
Always there's been people who hold their head high getting through. I can't. Ain't never been no good finding joy the way you should. Hope and water turn to wine. Hope's fine. Ha! Hope's fine. Ha ha! Hope's fine. Tell it.
Next show for CFRT is The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, December 1st through the 18th. It's a classic. I'm sure you have either seen this or you've heard of someone in your family at some point being in this show. I appreciate the fact that there are classics that we can see every single year. We know that certain theaters are going to put them on. But then again, I also appreciate when theaters, you know, kind of switch it up. Like the Gilbert is doing. They're switching things up. They're doing a different type of classic, A Wonderful Life versus Christmas Carol or The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. But if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go. It's super funny. It's family friendly, obviously. There is some music. However, it's not necessarily a musical. It's a straight stage play with musical excerpts as you would think a regular Christmas pageant would have in it. It's written by Barbara Robinson in 1971. It was later adapted into a play that was first performed 10 years later, or 11 years, excuse me, in 1982. Math is hard. It's a Christmas classic that's been the highlight of Fayetteville's holiday season for over 25 years. Tells the story of six delinquent herdman children who engage in misfit behavior for their age, such as smoking, drinking jug wine, shoplifting. It's fun
family
for everybody.
Friendly.
It's super family friendly, and the kids are going to laugh. The parents especially are going to have super fun because they're going to be like, man, this makes my kid look like an angel. So that's always a good thing, I guess. I'm not a parent. I don't know how that works. But so these six delinquent herdman children end up going to church for the very first time because they heard that the church offers snacks.
This is why I would go to church.
Right? No, the bribery works. Despite protests from other church members, all of these kids are given roles in Sunday school's Christmas play, in which they tell the Christmas story, and it ends up being a very non-conventional Christmas story because of the nature of who these children are, and this is the first time they've ever heard anything about the story of Christmas. So they make it kind of fun in their own way.
It is not recommended if you do not like your family. If you don't like your family, do not take them to the show.
Conversation we need to have. But fun fact, because I like fun facts, the best Christmas pageant ever is actually called The Worst Kids in the World, if you are to see the show in Australia, New Zealand, or the United Kingdom.
Wow.
I think that's a catchier title.
Yeah.
America, we dumb it down. The best Christmas pageant ever. Yeah. But like in these other countries, like The Worst Kids in the World. I would go see that show.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I'm guessing in those countries there's more swearing.
There might be. All right. So that's December 1st through the 18th. So go see it before Christmas time. What else we got? Oh, we're not in Temple yet. We still have a few. Well, yeah. We're still at CFRT.
How are we doing on time?
We need to cut this down.
Oh, we must have got confused. There's no more CFRT.
Oh, no. Okay. This is Temple. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're moving on to Temple Theater season.
She missed rehearsal.
Your face is a rehearsal.
Nice one.
Thanks.
I'm going to rewind the tape so you have a better chance at a new comeback. All right. Well, while Ruth prepares her new comeback, I'll tell you, the Temple Theater is
going
to be starting there. You can't go to anti-Semitism.
I can't. I just did.
Especially not with the name Ruth Goldstein.
All right.
The Temple Theater is going to be starting their 2016-2017 season.
Woohoo!
I'm
biased. I love Temple Theater. I love Peggy Taphorn.
Yes, and they are starting it with Anything Goes. Can you tell us anything about Anything Goes?
September 15th through October 2nd.
Oh, yeah. September 15th, October 2nd, 2016. So that's this year. And Anything Goes is a huge...
musical.
It is a musical, and it is one of the most well-known and beloved musicals. It is a comedy. It is... I'm not even sure how to describe the story. It's basically madcap antics aboard an ocean liner bound for New York to London, which is what I read. But that's the story. There's not like
You've seen it, yeah?
Yes, I've seen it.
It takes place on a boat?
What?
The whole show takes place on a boat. It's that's super thing. Fun.
Yeah.
And so it's like a fun set.
And a lot of the songs don't have anything to do with anything, which I guess maybe it's, the name
I think that's why it's so popular, is because it's just, you're going to recognize a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
Because they've been mainstream.
Anything Goes, You Are the Top, I Get a Kick Out of You.
Yeah, the title, Anything Goes.
Yes.
The song, guys.
Yeah. So. And then, after that, they are doing something entirely different with Tuesdays with Maury. They are going from a madcap romp to a story about a sports journalist who spends every Tuesday hanging out with his 78-year-old former sociology professor, Maury Schwartz, who is dying from Lou Gehrig's disease. Which is not so much a fun romp as it might be a little depressing, but also,
you know,
it's a heartfelt story. And from what I understand, it's one of those stories that's probably going to make you cry, but it's...
I equate it with Our Town, although that's probably not the best thing to equate. Like, when I think Our Town, I think super-duper drama with things to be learned.
Wow.
I do. Like, in this is kind of in that way. There's only two guys on stage, though.
Yeah.
That's it. So you don't have to... worry about knowing a bunch of characters.
Yes, so it's not complicated.
Yeah, it's an autobiographical story of the journalist.
And this is a play I've always wanted to see, but I've never gotten a chance to see. And this play is happening October 20th through November 6th, which was the dates I gave you earlier for Anything Go, but no, those dates are not. Those dates are for Tuesdays for more.
It is based on a book, and as far as I've been able to read, it doesn't stray too far from the book since it is an autobiographical play based on this guy. So, on Mitch Albarn.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Maury Schwartz. But
now, in December, they are doing the show that I think we all
Christmas Carol. Anticipated
eagerly.
Well, it's Temple, though.
Yeah.
This is Temple Theater. So it's not the Christmas Carol that you have seen performed anywhere else. It's an adaptation.
Unless you've seen it performed at Temple Theater.
Right, yeah. You can only see this type of, this particular production of Christmas Carol at Temple Theater because it is adapted by Peggy Taphorn, I don't know what her official
Peggy,
title is.
The artistic
director. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. It's a musical.
Yes. What? It's a musical?
They have music in it.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Cool. I haven't seen their A Christmas Carol before, so I didn't know that.
I think it's like Christmas songs. Like, it's kind of like the other show we talked about that's not, it's like greatest Christmas pageant ever.
Oh,
it has
okay.
music, but it's not necessarily a musical. Like, you don't just break out in song when you have extreme emotion.
Okay. Cool. So, yes. Christmas Carol, which, you know, for those who don't know, is a Charles Dickens classic. I hate Charles Dickens.
Stop it.
I just don't feel like
don't
he's a good
appreciate
writer.
Him.
Okay, anyway. And the story is about Ebenezer Scrooge, who is this curmudgeon who believes that wealth is far more valuable than the happiness and comfort of others. And he gets a lesson from three spirits from the past, present, and future, who are representative of the past, present, and future, who, it all comes down to, like, it should have been the spirit of Christmas future first, because then he's like, you don't act nice, you're gonna die. And then Scrooge is like, oh no, I don't want to die. I'm like 300 years old.
Yeah, but you miss all
old.
The meat, like, what? Before. Like,
yeah,
that's the
yeah.
good, a Christmas future, like, that's easy.
I don't
Of course, feel, but, like, you got, there's a lot of character development that happens with the first two spirits.
I feel like his redemption is super earned, because he's still, like, you know, up till the point in which that one spirit's like, hey, you're gonna die, then he's kind of like, I'm not so bad.
Have you seen the Temple Theater Christmas Carol?
I've not.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Judge not, lest ye be lest. I don't know how that goes. But anyway, it's December 1st through the 18th. It is the same run as the greatest Christmas pageant ever.
Wow.
Or the worst kids in America if you are in Australia. So yeah, you've got 18 days to see either of those shows. And this is in Sanford, so keep that in mind, guys.
Now, I do not know how to describe this show because I know so little about it. It's a classic Nashville road show, so I'm going to go through this very quickly. It seems to be it's happening January 19th through February 5th, 2017 at the Temple Theater, and it seems to be a jukebox musical from artists I'm not familiar with.
I can tell you a little bit about Jason Petty when you get to him.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure. Okay, yes. The show
it's a musical.
It's a musical. It's a jukebox musical. It's about country music and starring Jason Petty and Katie Deal, who they're going to be playing classic Nashville road shows songs such as Golden Ring, Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man, and Jackson. I've never heard
lots
of any
gospel
of these songs.
Traditions too. It's if you ever heard of Jason Petty, you know that he is renowned for his role as playing Hank Williams. He is literally the only person. Wait, I lost my place. He's the only person that has ever.
This is all off the cuff.
No, well, I was researching this and I was fascinated by this guy. He's the only person that's ever played Hank Williams in New York City's off-Broadway musical hit Lost Highway. He's also in a show called Hank and My Honky Tonk Heroes, which the Temple Theater put on earlier this year. It was February. If you saw it, then you know Jason Petty. He's fantastic. He's the only guy that's ever been able to really bring Hank Williams to life, and he is playing that role here. So he's, like, super-duper famous. I can't even go into how many awards he's won, and, I mean, Tonys and all of these appearances at the Grand Ole Opry. Like, we're talking hundreds of reviews from all these very known New York Times, Billboard Magazine, Rolling Stone. I mean, he's awesome. Like, so if anything, go to the classic Nashville Roadshow if you have an affinity for the country music of the olden days, and go get his autograph, because I'm sure it'll be worth something someday. Katie Deal probably can hold her own since she's with Jason. Yeah.
My mom loves country music, so I'll probably take her to the show. And also, it is hilarious because my mother is Puerto Rican. She has a very thick Puerto Rican accent. It is hilarious watching her sing along to country music.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of, like, heel stomping, you know.
Like, I've watched her sing, "I'm a redneck woman," in her big,
thick Puerto Rican accent. Oh, jeez. Can you never say that again?
It's hilarious.
I don't even know what accent you just used.
That's my Puerto Rican. I don't do a very good Puerto Rican accent. Right.
How do you say redneck in Spanish?
Redneck.
No, you don't just change the accent. Redneck. Redneck. No. Well, moving on.
Okay, the Savannah Sipping Society. Savannah Sipping Society.
Sounds like it should be a wine taster.
Yes. It is a delightful laugh-a-minute comedy. Four unique Southern women all needing to escape the sameness of their sobriety.
Do you think they will have puppets for this one?
Yes, there will be absolutely be puppets.
Drunk puppets.
Drunken puppets. They will be puppets soaked in alcohol. When you squeeze them, more alcohol will come out.
That's not normal.
But,
we can't. No.
I'm excited about this show. It's about these women and alcohol, and I don't
You're
know
only
much
excited
more.
About it because it's women and alcohol?
And puppets. Which.
All right. There's no puppets.
Oh, well, then.
But these women are drawn together by fate.
Fate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And to only because they want to escape the sameness of their day-to-day routine. Ladies, you know what that's like, right? Can I get a hana?
Peggy, if we're super duper wrong, please feel free to email us, nctheaterstories@gmail.com.
Don't That's hate.
Theater spelled with an E-R. And we will give you apologies. All right. And then after that, on March 23rd through April 9th, 2017, they are doing The Andrews Brothers.
Dun, dun, dun.
Again, not super appropriate, but okay.
You sound so ominous. Created by Roger Bean. That giant. Anyway,
the Andrews Brothers is if you've ever heard of the Andrews Sisters, and you're 300 years old, and this is, should be very exciting for you.
Hey,
I'm sorry. They have an older clientele. I understand, but
this is history, man.
Yeah. Okay.
This is musical history.
Okay. Well, they're doing a jukebox musical, and I've already complained
you
about jukebox,
jukebox musicals. You know what? There's going to be a lot of great songs. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy?
And
seriously,
all their other classics. Such
I
as
sung that 1940s
Slow
radio
Boat
hour,
to
and it's
China.
Fantastic.
Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. And
Accentuate the Positive.
I think maybe I've heard of that last one. I have heard of a Boogie Woogie Boogie
wow.
Woogie Bugle
Jeez.
Boy.
Apologies. On behalf of James Johnson.
I'm sure this show, it should be a really interesting twist. It's three young men who are going to be performing the songs of the Andrews Sisters. The story is that the Andrews Sisters are in jeopardy of cancellation when they fail to appear shortly before curtain. Thankfully, three earnest stagehands are determined to go on with the show. The Andrews Brothers fill in for the young ladies, and they sing 25 songs made famous by the Andrews Sisters. Including the showstoppers, Boogie Woogie, you know, the song we just mentioned.
Yeah, so it's super popular songs with mm-hmm. a plot mixed in.
And
it's going to be fun.
Dudes singing them.
And
so it's
dudes,
a twist.
Yeah, like Heroes of World War II dudes. Yes. Those are some sexy dudes.
Yeah.
I so. Like me some World War II dudes. Not like she's now, always, but I do, she's always, I do like old guys.
She's always so trolling much, the old folks home.
So much history.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Season, they are going to be, I believe this is the final show of their season.
Mm-hmm.
They are ending their season with
Legally Blonde, the
what?
Musical. They're not going to show the movie and just like, put it up on a projector, guys. It's April a musical. Can you believe
April,
it?
April 27th through May 14th, 2017. And this is a totally different audience. This is not the Andrews Brothers audience.
This is
for
not
a
Hank Williams
audience.
Guys coming. I mean, y'all can come out there. That's fine. You probably like it. It's super catchy. Kind of like The Little Mermaid is super catchy. Mm-hmm. Even if you like don't want to go see a Disney musical, or you mm-hmm. just don't like musicals because they're so happy or whatever. This is, you're gonna want to buy the soundtrack because it's so catchy and definitely it's uplifting and it does loosely follow the film Legally Blonde, which if you don't know, the one with Reese Witherspoon and that mm-hmm. guy and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if there's gonna be a dog on stage.
Well,
we don't
know. I don't
know. I haven't seen it in real life. I've only seen the musical numbers, but it's running April 27th through May 14th.
Right, the Cape Fear Regional Theater actually did a production of this fairly recently. It was a terrific show. It's just hilarious and way better than it has any right to be, given the fact that it's based on such
so
a silly
fun.
Movie.
But, Lawrence yeah. O'Keefe, he does the lyrics and he's fantastic. Nell Benjamin and Heather Hack did the books, or the book. Lawrence O'Keefe and Nell Benjamin, sorry, or lyrics. Heather Hack's the book.
Yeah, what it's about is a blonde young woman who is apparently seen to the world. She seems maybe a little airheaded.
She's a sorority girl.
She's a sorority girl. And so she decides, you know, she's going to prove to her snobby ex that she's got a brain. So she enrolls.
Well, she's trying to win him back.
Right. She enrolls into Harvard, and she gains a little thing called self-respect.
She does.
And honestly, a blonde, talented young woman who may be seen as lesser intelligent than she actually is, I really think you should have gone out to audition for this.
I want
to
smack you in the face right now at the same time. I do want to go out for this. If nothing else, just to be in, like, you know, it'd be great to play Elle Woods, but, like, super fun to just be involved in the show at some point, even, like, the chorus or whatever. It's so much fun. The numbers are fantastic. I mean, it's about a murder trial, essentially. It's a love story and a murder trial all wrapped up in one with great music, great choreography. It's super fun. Lots of movement. I don't know how to describe the style of music. It's popular. Like, not like Wicked, but, like,
popular.
Yeah, God, we just nerded out a little bit.
Yeah.
Taking up, bring that ring back and show it to me. 4 carats of princess cut. Are you psyched or what? I just wish I could be there to see.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. You can't go see that show and not have a blasty blast.
A blasty blast.
Just, yeah, like even, it's just so much fun.
For those who don't know Ruth, a blasty blast is one of those Ruthisms.
It's not one of those, like, you can't go watch that show and come out pissed off.
Yeah,
you're just going to be like, man. You might be like, yeah, it was kind of, you know, musical-y, if you're not prone to, like, musicals. But you're going to, like, have a little pep in your step when you leave. And you'll probably be singing, oh, my God, you guys. Totally
yeah.
Will.
Cool.
That's actually the name of the song, Oh, My God, You Guys.
And that was her audition.
Yes. Right. Peggy, you listening?
Yeah.
Cast me.
So, well, I think we've covered all the seasons for the theaters we set out to cover. And
you can go on their websites and check out their seasons if you don't want to listen to this podcast all over again. And it's a plethora of different things going on. Mm-hmm. So many options for all of you theater goers.
Yes. So we will have links to the websites on our website, nctheaterstories.com.
Write us. Tell us if we suck or if we're great.
Yes, please. Feel free to tweet at us, write at us, comment, share, blah, blah, blah.
Stuff do all you want to see, stuff you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
If you want James to do a solo or a monologue from Steel Magnolias.
I'm planning on it. All right. Well, I think we've yet to come up with a sign-off that is all our own, so we'll just say...
Signing off.
Signing off.
Break a leg.
Ooh, that's a good one. Break a leg. Break all the limbs. I ruined it.
Break all the limbs.